Good morning and welcome to the coffee table. The time is 9:04 a.m. I'm your host, Kathleen Gustafson. And the topic today is Proposition 1, Kenai Peninsula Borough, Proposition 1. Election Day is coming up on October 3rd. That's Amy Jackman, Leif Abel, and Doug Anderson are in the studio today, and they represent Keep Cannabis Legal. That's the name of the group, is it not, Amy?
Yes, it is. With the state of Alaska, we're actually registered as Vote No on Prop 1 in the KPB, Cannabis Legal.
So that's your APOC, right?
Yes, it is.
So you guys are registered with APOC, and you're a nonprofit.
We are not a nonprofit.
Okay, I read that in some doing some reading, and I thought, how can that?
No, that would have taken a much longer to establish.
Okay, so, but you are a registered political action committee?
Yeah, we are a ballot initiative group. Yes.
So, Amy Jackman, here's what I found out when I was doing my research. You are a former Kenai City Council member. Yes. You ran Margaret Stock's campaign. Were you campaign manager, spokesperson? Communications director.
Yes.
There it is. And can you tell us a little bit about, also, you're not a volunteer here. You are the paid representative of...
I am the official campaign manager. Yes.
Right.
Yes. I don't personally own any stake in the cannabis industry.
Right.
Besides personal freedom and liberty.
And is there anything that you want people in terms of introducing yourself other than former Kenai City Council member, Margaret Stock campaign?
I don't know. I think that, I've been on the Kenai Peninsula for a very long time. I've represented a lot of different diverse groups and ballot measures and supported just a wide variety of issues.
I can't resist asking. What's your success rate?
Well, so Margaret Stock did not win. I ran my own city council campaign, and I won that overwhelmingly against three gentlemen. So, I consider my success rate good. Anytime you're educating anyone, I think that you've been successful.
And what is your... How did your relationship with Keep Cannabis Legal... All right, you just corrected me on the actual title.
Keep Cannabis Legal.com, yes.
And how long have you been associated, and how did you get involved?
We started meeting. I started being asked to the meetings in February, and then we formed early March. This group of people on the peninsula had been meeting for probably a year or so before. And one of the members who is very active, Patricia Patterson, she owns Lucky Raven Tobacco and now High Bush Buds. They're just outside of Soldotna. We have known one another for many, many years. And I saw her on her opening day of High Bush Buds, which was New Year's Eve. And she just was, oh my gosh, I've been thinking about you. I've been telling everyone about you. You have to come to our meeting. And from there, it just kind of transpired very quickly. They knew that they needed to get organized as soon as possible.
And it sounds like organizing is your special skill.
Yes, it is.
All right. Doug Anderson is sitting at the second mic. And Doug, there are so many Doug Andersons in this town, on this peninsula, so I'm going to need a little more information about you. Which Doug Anderson are you?
I'm the original. The rest are fakes. I've run across a couple of them, and I can tell they're fakes.
And so how would you introduce yourself?
I have a business in Kasiloft known as Odin's Wagon, and we have a standard cultivation there, and we've been active, and we built our own building, and we followed all the state rules, and it's been a long road. It's not real easy, and...
How long was it from I'm going to enter this industry
Well, I've been working on this since before the yes vote. So it's been a long time. And there are so many rules and regulations that one has to follow to get one of these businesses up and running. It's very tightly controlled. So you have to be, it's a full-time job. There are no days off.
Yeah. So, Doug, also, it might be nice to let the folks know what you did before you came into the cannabis industry.
I was a professional in the oil field and worked over 30 years in the industry from the slope to Valdez. So
you know about regulations
and
controls.
Oh, gosh, yes, very much so. Yeah, and this is a retirement job.
And the third mic is Leif Abel. Leif, you're from Greatland Ganja. You're the founder?
I'm one of the founding members, yeah, of Greatland Ganja.
And that's Kasilof as well, right?
Yep, Kasilof. I'm right there on the highway.
And we were having just a short conversation before we went to air. And my guess is that you grew up subsistencing around Alaska. What's your history on the peninsula?
Yeah, I'm born and raised Alaskan, as is my brother. He's also a co-founder and co-owner of Greatland Ganja. We operate it together. We were raised on the Yukon River in interior Alaska, farmed, trapped, commercial fished, and lived subsistence up there. Definitely, you know, steeped in the Alaskan culture, very familiar with both, you know, bush Alaska life and, you know, the somewhat familiar with city Alaska life and political life, having lived in Anchorage a little bit. And I really like it down here on the Kenai Peninsula. Met my wife down here when I was down. My mom's a teacher down here, helping her finish up her house. And once I met my wife down here and realized, you know, how nice it is down here, we settled down here instead of going up to the interior. I am been involved, first of all, I'm a second-generation cannabis cultivator here in Alaska, and I've been involved with cannabis politics over the last 3 or 4 years. I was involved with the Coalition for Responsible Cannabis Legislation during the passage of Ballot Measure 2. I'm one of the founding directors of the Alaska Marijuana Industry Association, which is a statewide group that supports the obviously supports the industry. And also I served on the Borough Marijuana Task Force as chair, and that was the group that suggested the current regulatory process to borough leadership that we are now all operating under.
And I want to tell everyone the phones are open, 235-7721. If you have questions or comments, we would love to hear them. Also, if you don't feel like hanging on the phone, you can email to info@kbbi.org and just write your questions out. And I would like to go back to Amy.
Sure.
You guys were in Seward yesterday. You are on a traveling roadshow. Before we get started with you guys, if anyone is asking themselves, why are only Keep Cannabis Legal people in the studio, I can tell you that Borough Mayor Mike Navarre will be here to talk about all three ballot propositions on the coffee table on the 27th of this month. And so we will be able to get the borough's perspective. As for getting the perspective of the Proposition 1, sponsors, it was very difficult. I was able to speak to a few people, but no one who would go to air. And I was given some numbers to call, and I was able to get in touch with people there, but I could not get a call back. So it's been tough to get anyone who the sponsors, and I called the first 5-6 names from Sterling mostly.
Yes, there seems to be quite a few people coming out of Sterling.
Well, but that's just the proposition to begin collecting signatures, correct?
Well, they've already collected the signatures, right. And it took them 3 extensions to do so. But it is finally on the ballot, yes. So, and just to let everyone know, there is going to be an opportunity to hear the yes side, and that is going to be Wednesday, September 13th in Kenai at the Kenai Peninsula Borough Building there at 144 Binkley Street in Soldotna from 6 to 8 p.m. The League of Women Voters have invited the Kenai Peninsula Borough mayoral candidates, and there's going to be a discussion about Proposition 1 following with Blaine Gilman and Leif Abel.
Well, Blaine Gilman was the person that Mr. Threaves, who is the first signature on Proposition 1's at the beginning of their quest, he's the person he identified to me as the spokesperson, but I was unable to get Blaine Gilman to call me back and come and talk about coming to air. But he will be in Kenai, you say?
Yes, this will be happening in Kenai.
Soldotna.
Yeah, it's Soldotna. The Central Kenai Peninsula in Soldotna, Wednesday, September 13th from 6 to 8 p.m. at the George A. Navarre Borough Building.
Oh, at Borough Hall.
It is, yes.
Sponsored by the League of Women Voters.
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes.
Well, that's good to know, because I would love to hear from people with diverging opinions.
And, you know, Peter Mlarnik, who is the Soldotna police chief, he's also the chairman of the control board for the cannabis industry.
I spoke to him.
Okay, good. He would be another good resource, I think.
Well, he was unwilling, and rightly so, probably, unable to say, I can speak to represent the control board.
Sure. He was just on KSRM, though, a few days ago.
Was unable and said that he was unable to name even one member of the vote no. I mean, of the vote yes, of Proposition 1 supporters, and that he had no contact with them and that he did not know them and did not even know their names.
That is because they have been flying under the radar of APOC, which is the Alaska Public Offices Commission, by spreading their information and their agenda through a church network.
Well, but that proposition is public information. Sure. I have it. You have it.
We all
Anyone can access it.
That's right.
So it's not that it's covert. But it was, I just want to make it clear, it was very difficult. And I did the best I could to get some participation, but was unable to. However, Borough Mayor Mike Navarre will be here in person on the 27th and said that he's perfectly willing to talk about whatever anybody wants to talk about.
Sure.
Now, you, Leaf, said you are a second generation cannabis grower. What is changing for you?
I think one of the biggest things that has changed, and I'm going to bring this up because I've had this brought to me by quite a few people. So out there in Alaska, we have a couple groups of people that might be in support, or I should say, on the Kenai Peninsula, we have a couple of people that might types of people that might be in support of ballot measure or sorry, Proposition 1. One of them, of course. One group would be people that have a misunderstanding about cannabis and the commercial cannabis industry and might think it's dangerous, and they therefore are prohibitionists and are going against it. Another group are people that think cannabis shouldn't be regulated and that it should be more of a free plant and dealt with in a totally entirely different way, leave the government out of it. I understand both these viewpoints, and I especially understand the second viewpoint, considering, free nature that Alaskans tend to have, and people that come here don't generally come here to have the government interfere more.
Yeah, regulation is not really our thing.
But this I say all of this to preface a short story. The short story is that when I was a child, in my and my parents were cultivating cannabis. My brother and I had the occasion to have government troops stick automatic weapons in our faces when we were 6 and 9 years old. That doesn't happen to my children. So things are going in the right direction. I don't consider the current regulatory process and the current regulatory schematic for cannabis and commercial cannabis businesses to be anywhere near perfect. However, it's definitely better than when I was a kid.
Well, I want to talk about the current process. But first, just for everyone's edification, Proposition 1... Here's what it is. It will prohibit the operation of any commercial marijuana establishment outside of borough cities, including marijuana retailers, cultivators, product manufacturers, and testing facilities. And this, can you help me explain to people, this will not affect, as a Homer resident, I don't get to vote on this because it's for borough residents outside of cities.
That's correct. Outside, it does not follow house district lines or boundaries. It's city limits. And if there is any question for any of our listeners whether you are eligible to vote or not, please visit keepcannabislegal.com. We have an interactive map there. If you go to voter information, you can put in your full address and find out if you can vote or not. And here's just a couple of interesting...
I have a question.
Yes.
Are you saving those addresses?
We do not save those addresses, but
just asking.
But we do have a voter database that we have purchased.
Okay, so you can get on the database.
We've been using it all along.
If you want. Oh, I see.
Yes, yes.
Uh-huh. Oh, right, the same one that I could purchase if I wanted.
Absolutely.
Once again, public information.
Yes. And so it's very interesting because while people outside, only those people living outside of the city limits can vote, the monetary advantages and income from this, it affects everyone inside the borough, everyone. So all sales tax revenue that comes from retail sales of cannabis goes to the Kenai Peninsula borough and then is allocated directly to the school district. Then the excise tax from the cultivators goes directly into the state of Alaska, which we know often can come back in forms of revenue sharing and other things like that. So this really does affect everyone. And that's why I think it's important to educate that even if you don't live outside of the city limits, know the topic so that you can help talk to your friends, neighbors, and family that do live outside and can vote.
And since we're on tax revenue, your projecting, your site cites a 3.6 annual contribution to the tax base, right?
Revenue generation, yes.
Where are you getting that number?
Okay, let me give you some numbers real quick and tell you how we've come to this.
Yeah, let's find, because it's very important that people
Absolutely.
Hear where they come from.
Absolutely, and it's very, very simple. We have based our numbers on per capita data information that we have taken from one of, if not the most established cannabis, legalized cannabis industries in the union, or in the United States, which is Colorado. So, and we've done that again based on per capita numbers here for the Kenai Peninsula Borough. And what we have found when we first started putting these numbers up is that we are rapidly exceeding those projections, those per capita projections. Right now, as it stands, in the Kenai Peninsula Borough alone, the cannabis industry has contributed over $7 million. That is from construction, plumbing, electricians, payroll, garden supplies.
I did want to bring that up because I'm going to talk to both of you guys about industry. And it's not just about generating sales of cannabis.
No, we are.
There's work to be done.
Oh, there is much, much work to be done. And this is ongoing. As you know, once you start having, and $7 million is significant, but that typically in economics has a 3-time multiplier. So that is going to go around.
Explain what you mean by that.
So basically, whenever money is produced and generated through a community, it is circulated through the hands of businesses and community members 3 times. So you can look at it in essence of being close to about $21 million.
So for instance, my paycheck, I get some money, I go to the farmer's market, I pay the farmer's market for my rutabagas. The rutabaga seller goes to one of our fine underwriters here at KBBI and buys a blanket or
that supports maybe a local. You're right. Someone who's spinning their own wool.
Well, I can hope for that.
But this is also your electric bill is paid. That pays employees. Those employees are members of our community, and so are all these contractors. Now, also, we have already the cannabis industry has already produced over 100 new jobs. And this is one of those things I was talking about, far exceeding our expectations so far. It's actually compounding quite quickly.
And that's just on the Kenai Peninsula Borough.
These numbers are only for the Kenai Peninsula Borough. Yes. And so we're actually expecting to see once the industry is regulated and leveled out and, you know, kind of up at full speed, between 200 and 300 new jobs.
So Doug Anderson and Leif Abel, I would like to hear from both of you on what it takes to establish a business and what kind of work goes into it. And then afterward, I want to talk a little bit about how this threatens your livelihood.
Sure. Just to add on what Amy was saying there, that the numbers, I think, are just in their infancy, and the numbers you see in here now are just fractional compared to what they will be in the near future.
We can make that projection, but
sure, anyway,
I want you to talk about
just a
what,
comment, yeah.
Yeah.
I liken our facility to a prison. It's highly regulated. I mean, from the security systems, the videos, the locks, the engineering, there's so many things that come with building a business. The lights, everything that we've mentioned, you know, for the, again, from the growing to the state regulations that are required to track from seed to sale are very intense.
Can you talk a little bit more in depth about that?
There's nothing. The cannabis is tracked literally from the seed to the sale to where it goes to retail. And that includes everything from, your trim to your stems to your buds to your leaves, virtually everything. And it's tightly regulated. A little bit of a learning curve to try to get through all these the state system and such and learn all the rules and regulations. And I could tell you that, you know, it's not an easy thing.
It's monitored by an RFID system. So basically it has a barcode. And once it reaches, what is it, 8 inches is the plant? Is it 8 inch?
Yep.
Once the plant reaches 8 inches high, it must be tagged with a barcode. And that's what he's talking about from seed to sale. It, that plant then is literally tagged and tracked all the way from 8 inches up to going into the retail facilities where then they can, if something were to go wrong, even though it's lab tested.
And who is tracking and what are they doing with that information?
So the you know, the company is called Metric. They have contracted with Colorado and I believe at least one other state, possibly two, and Oregon, that's what it is, yeah, and Oregon. And they were originally tracking strawberries and pharmaceuticals. So when they saw cannabis come online, they thought that it was a good opportunity for them. So they started trying to alter one of their strawberry tracking programs to meet the cannabis industry's needs in Colorado about 4 years ago, maybe five now, and failed horribly. So they created an entirely new system, because they realized none of the other systems even based had a base that they could even start from. They create an entire new system just for tracking cannabis, because it kind of you have to have the farming part of it, and then you have to have the pharmaceutical part of it. And there was no system out there at that point that had both. And also, it's even more regulatory. It's even more highly regulated than most pharmaceuticals. So the pharmaceutical tracking systems didn't really meet that requirement either. Strangely enough, you know, we have a higher requirement for certain testing parameters and certain tracking parameters than, you know, some of the most deadly pharmaceuticals out there. Certainly our monitoring requirements are higher than for radioactive waste and for explosives when it comes to transporting and tagging and tracking everything within the regulatory system, which is interesting from my perspective. So the Metric system is monitored by Metric, and it's monitored by several agencies at the state of Alaska. This AMCO office monitors it. They can see the back-end rubrics. So every time we harvest, every time we have waste, all the gram data gets entered. And so they look at percentages over time to make sure that there's no diversion. You know, say my Pineapple Express starts producing way less, you know, 2 years from now than it did now, I'm pretty sure I'm going to have a conversation with Joe about that if he sees that on the back end rubric. So, you know, it is there to catch product diversion. It's there to keep cannabis out of the hands of children. It's there to show the federal government that the state of Alaska is doing a good job monitoring the new cannabis industry in Alaska. The other entity that highly monitors Metric, and I probably talk to this entity more about Metric than AMCO, is the Criminal Tax Division in the state of Alaska. So the Criminal Tax Division, most people might not know this, and I wish they would change the name of it, but they're all law enforcement officers and they all carry badges, and they deal with alcohol, gambling, what's the other one?
Is it tobacco?
Yep, tobacco and cannabis. They monitor Metric closely. That's how they double check us that we are indeed paying the proper amount of tax. And it's a single entry system, meaning when you go in there and enter something in Metric, you can't take it back. And it's alive, it's online.
And the U.S. Justice Department is on record, vocal and loud, about Jeff Sessions is vehemently anti-marijuana and will say so even when not asked. Where does this put Alaska? What kind of jeopardy? Even if Proposition 1 does not pass, there are still issues.
There are
law enforcement issues to deal with.
Sure, there are hurdles. The one good thing that I think Alaska has, as do a few other states, is that our elected officials in higher up government, they have basically told the federal government to back off and to keep their hands. You know, we are responsibly regulating the cannabis industry. This is something our voters have said that they want, and so you need to keep a safe distance. And I personally feel, as do I think, you know, a few other members of our steering committee that who are in this business, that, you know, eventually it will come down to either the descheduling of cannabis and where the government just kind of says, okay, we're going to let the states, you know, monitor their own. But we really do need to turn that around. around.
A lot will have to change before descheduling occurs.
Because banking relies on that descheduling.
I have banking on my list. Can you, Doug, can you talk to me a little bit about how your money is handled? Because I know it's problematic.
Sure, it is, you know. And this is obviously an industry in transition, and we'll eventually get to where we want to be, you know, sometime, hopefully in the near future. But it is somewhat of an issue with handling cash all the time, and you could just imagine the problems that arise with, you know, trying to do banking, trying to pay bills, and any number of things that you do, and trying to keep the business going, and trying not to get your bank account shut down, and what have you, which would be a disaster. If the banks catch wind that you have anything to do with the cannabis industry, it could be, you know, to have somebody shut down your bank accounts is pretty disastrous. So it definitely is an issue, and hopefully will be resolved soon. You know, you always hear things in the horizon about state banks starting up to help the mm-hmm. cannabis industry and such. And there's always something out there. Hopefully some of these will come to fruition soon to help us out.
So state and like credit unions and state banks can accept your money.
Yes, and there are a couple of credit unions who are coming on board and saying, yes, we are going to accept.
No one you can name right now?
I've heard Credit Union One has finally changed their board decision. They've been, you know, we've been asking them for years, and they kept saying no. Or we want to take your business, but our board keeps saying no because of the liability. I've heard recently that they've changed that decision. I have yet to approach them myself. I know we will be approaching them again. I'd like to point out that technically speaking, any bank in the United States can do business with us.
Yes.
Just like we operate under the federal coal memorandum, which allows us to do business in the state of Alaska without being prosecuted by the federal government, the banks have been given a memorandum telling them that they can do business with the marijuana companies by the federal government. They're on the same sticky point that we are. We have a memorandum saying that we can do this, and yet there's a federal law saying that we're committing a felony. So the banks are unwilling most of the time to operate underneath that duality, because technically speaking, they would still be money laundering, even though the federal government says, hey, if you do this reporting, go ahead and do business with them, we'll track it, and we're not going to prosecute you. You know, that's not good enough. The federal government needs to change the rules if they want us to do business. They need to deschedule it. Congress needs to act. We've got over half the states in the union that have some sort of commercial marijuana market, whether it's medical or otherwise. And, you know, when that happens, that should be a clear message to the federal government to change their policy.
And I would like to bring this back to just a little more personal level. By having these restrictions in place on banking, you are literally putting all of these business owners' lives at stake, because they are having to carry this cash around and have it on their person at all times. That is very, very dangerous. So the other thing that Leaf mentioned whenever you started talking about the medical and the recreational, and I do want to bring this up because it is so, so incredibly important. There's a lot of misconceptions around the individuals in the state of Alaska and the borough that don't realize that the state of Alaska doesn't necessarily make a clear and defined differentiation between the medical and the recreational. So if someone has a medical cannabis card, a medical marijuana card, they don't get to go to your neighborhood pharmacy to pick up their medicine. They are relying on these retail stores to get it. So if the retail stores, if this passes and these retail stores are shut down, and people are relying on cannabis for their medication, there will literally be one pharmacy left in the Kenai Peninsula borough.
So Willie is online too. Willie, do you read me?
Hi, can you hear me?
Go ahead, Willie.
Hi. Hey, thanks for the program. Thanks to the guests. I would just say to any listeners, if you're on the fence about this issue, I urge you to vote no on Proposition 1. You know, some people are trying to frame this as a moral issue or complicate it with, you know, the different legal technicalities. But, you know, in fact, it's a business issue. And, you know, the use of marijuana will continue whether or not it's legally regulated. There's always been a black market. There always will be. And, you know, now the past few years with the businesses developing, it's above board. It, you know, there's sales tax being collected. It's a safe, regulated business. You know, not unlike alcohol. I kind of think of it, compare it to the brew pubs or the microbreweries that we have around the state. You know, these little mom and pop businesses that are you know, helping our community through providing jobs, infrastructure, business. And so by voting no, you'll be protecting business. And just wanted to remind people of that.
And I'm realizing now this is Willie Dunn, our representative for Homer for Borough Assembly. Thank you for calling, Willie. Have you been in contact at all with any local growers who would be impacted by this?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. And I do want to say, even though I am a member of the Borough Assembly, I'm speaking my personal opinion. I'm not representing the Assembly or the Borough in any way. But oh yeah, there's a number of local growers, businesses here that would be put out of business, and you know, I wouldn't hesitate to say millions of dollars of investment around the borough would be shut down, and people would lose jobs and businesses and livelihood.
All right. Well, thank you for calling with your strictly personal opinion.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you, Willie. That's really nice. You know, I do want to give a couple of other numbers since he brought it up. To date, the Kenai Peninsula Borough retail shops have contributed a little over $100,000 in sales tax revenue to the Kenai Peninsula Borough that, again, will go to the school district. Also, the excise tax that is paid by the cultivators here, we're right at about $1 million to the state of Alaska, and that's only going to grow. That's really going to get much larger. And you know, with the economic times that we're having right now in the state, we need all the different new revenue sources we can get.
I wonder. I think I saw a flyer. Are you going to be in Homer meeting at some point?
We sure are.
Where are you going to be?
We are going to be at Stowaway Cafe.
And that east?
That is down east, yes.
On East Road?
Yes. And I do actually have, that here. If you'd give me just a second,
sure.
Then I can get to it. But
you let me know what the date is. In fact, it's time for us to take a breather. So I am going to play the wonderful coffee table theme. And we'll be back in 2 or 3. Welcome back to the coffee table. Proposition 1, Kenai Peninsula Borough Proposition 1 is the topic. Guests are Amy Jackman and Doug Anderson and Leif Abel from Keep Cannabis Legal. And if you have questions or comments, you can call 235-7721, toll free 1-800-979-5224, or you can email to info@kbbi.org. And Amy, you guys have a presentation or a gathering planned for the Homer area.
We do. We are local small businesses. That was kind of
I believe you just coined a new portmanteau.
I think I did.
Has said keep it smokal until now, someone is registering it right now.
We're going to hashtag that. That's right.
Smokal.com.
best comment so far.
Thank you, Doug. Yeah. So we are local small business owners, and we do like to also support local small businesses when we have these community meetings. There is a new cafe up at 3585 East End Road, number 14. It is called Stowaway Cafe. It is going to be from 4 to 6 p.m. this Saturday. You're going to get to meet with industry leaders, some of the gentlemen that are here before you now, and other people as well, giving a presentation. You'll be able to ask questions and learn all about the industry.
And I think those are the units that are out East Road, about 3 miles.
Yeah,
I think
not
that's
too
what
far.
It is from town. I think that's where that is. Leif, I wanted to ask you about your service on the Marijuana Task Force. But first, I want to make this distinction that when we were talking about Soldotna Police Chief Peter Mlarnik, he's on the Marijuana Control Board. That is not the Marijuana Task Force that you served on, right? Could you tell me the difference?
Correct. So The statewide governing body for this industry is the Marijuana Control Board. It has a 5-member board that meets anywhere between 12 to 4 times a year. They are made up of one law enforcement seat, one economic development seat, and two industry seats. One of the industry seats can be kind of a public seat as well. It's actually only required to have one industry, and one of them is called industry/public. So this was the after the passage of ballot measure 2 in the state of Alaska, where we said, yes, we want, where the voters said, yes, we want commercial cannabis, and we want the right to consume cannabis and grow it in our own homes. the state of Alaska then took, you know, its cue from the voters, took the initiative, and then built the system. Part of building that system was building the Marijuana Control Board. They fashioned it much like the Alcohol Control Board, and in fact, they're both housed under the Department of Economic Development, and they actually have the same officers that go out into the field and do enforcement and checks, and they have the same director. So the director of the Marijuana Control Board is the one, or the director of AMCO operates AMCO day to day, day in, day out, and then the Marijuana Control Board oversees and gives directives every time they meet to the director who operates it. So the Marijuana Control Board, as you can see, is the top in the state of Alaska. They are the final word on cannabis regulations.
But you did serve with members of that control board on the Marijuana Task Force. Was it based in Soldotna?
So the Marijuana Task Force, that's the borough equivalent, kind of loosely, to the Marijuana Control Board. And the reason that I say kind of loosely is this. The Marijuana Task Force on the borough level was a body that made a recommendation. So we were not at all a governing body, and such as task force usually are. They usually do research, hold lots of meetings, get public input, and then they make a recommendation. That's usually how it works on the borough level, and I think on other levels as well. So after the ballot, Measure 2 passed in the state of Alaska, there were quite a few people down here interested in how this would affect the Kenai Peninsula borough. So I approached borough leadership and said, hey, I think we need to have, a mayoral task force or some sort of task force to look into this and to look into how we want to implement this in the borough. And after I did that, and I think this probably happens a lot in small government and small community, when somebody sticks their hand up and says, we need to do this, they go, hey, yeah, okay, do it. I know that's what I do at my company. If somebody has a bright idea, I'm like, all right, well, implement it. The mayor asked for, he said, yep, let's do this. The task force will report to me and to the assembly and give a recommendation. And so then he asked for people to apply to the task force. So I applied, lots of other community members applied to the task force, including Chief Molnarek, some other attorneys, some other people interested in cultivating. And the task force was formed. A chair was elected. I was appointed as chair by the task force itself after it formed, just like any other board does. And we worked for 2 years researching and,
writing regulations, right?
Yes.
Well,
yeah.
And then
writing
a
recommendation.
Right.
Researching and writing recommendations. We based this on many things. One, we based it on the state regulations that were being written in tandem at the time. We based it on ballot measure 2 that was passed statewide, because that told us exactly how it was going to be carried out. And then we also did a lot of research out of
Washington, Colorado,
exactly. Research from what was happening here in this state. The state of Alaska actually paid for a pretty good study during the campaign for ballot measure 2 that they paid a Colorado company to do, and it, kind of sized the market here and sort of described the unregulated market as it stands in Alaska, and that was back in 2014. They estimated about $200 million a year in the state of Alaska is generated through cannabis commerce on the unregulated market. They came up with a lot of other numbers. So the task force, took all of this data and then made a recommendation at the end of it, at which time we were disbanded. Our original creation was to exist only for a year, and then I think the assembly and the mayor extended it for another year because we weren't finished, and then now there was no reason. I think we got called back for a little while. We had this like interim where we weren't going to meet unless there was an emergency, and we got called back several times to make decisions and recommendations. But the idea was that with so many issues Leadership has a hard time, you know, and by leadership I mean like the mayor and the assembly have a really hard time researching in depth every single little thing to make the proper decisions. So basically a task force is doing that work for them and then putting together something that is easy to understand and, you know, has all of everything combined, you know, and pre-put together so that they don't have to spend the 2 years doing the research. They can, they get it in their packet, you know, a week before the, or 2 weeks before the meeting, they study it and then they make decisions on it. So that's how that came about.
And for Doug Anderson and you, Leif, as well, do you seek investors? And what does this situation, I mean, is it possible to get anyone to invest in this current political situation?
Personally, I've had numerous people. I probably could start two or three companies. I've got an overwhelming amount of folks that I could access and get resources from. You know, Alaska.
So you have plenty of interest in terms of...
Oh, absolutely. You know, Alaska's done a good thing here. They've limited the outside companies from coming in the state, which allows, you know, the average small grower to actually start a business 500 square feet or less and get into the market. And you know, again, Alaska's done that and limited any large firms that might come into the state and try to capitalize in the market and buy everybody out. And so they've done a good thing there.
And we do have a caller on the line I'm going to go to in just a moment, but it makes me wonder. So some of the reading I did said that cannabis industry can't use the Alaska grown or made in Alaska labels?
It could not, and they are looking to change that. Just as of this last week, they are going to look into start accepting it. Yes.
All right. So Jerry is on line one. Jerry, do you read?
Yes, I do.
Go ahead, Jerry.
I have a question about the taxes on the marijuana. The communities that vote the marijuana out, do they get the taxes too, or does it just go to the communities that allow it?
So within the Kenai Peninsula, is Jerry just talking about the Kenai Peninsula borough or the state? I mean, obviously,
what do you say, Jerry?
Well, the whole state.
Okay, well, so as you know, excise tax that is paid to the state from any city or borough or any industry then is allocated as the state sees fit. So yes, if the Kenai Peninsula borough votes yes on this overwhelmingly, and this goes down, then the rest of the state of Alaska is going to be benefiting from a lot of this industry. The Kenai Peninsula borough will still get some of that excise tax coming back to our communities, but we won't get
any
of...
But they won't be contributing to it.
We won't be contributing to it, nor will we be getting any of the sales tax revenue, which goes directly to our boroughs. So again, if you vote to prohibit this, if you vote yes on this, you are actually putting the Kenai Peninsula borough at a huge disadvantage as far as competition for jobs, revenue, things like that. And as it stands, the Kenai Peninsula borough has the second largest cultivation stronghold in the state next to only Fairbanks. So with the excise tax coming in, not only then are you hurting the borough, the KPB, you're hurting the state as well.
And Jerry, do you feel like that addressed your question, or do you have a follow-up?
Yeah, I was wondering about, who benefits from the taxes. It's kind of hard to benefit when you say, I don't want it.
Well, you can say you don't want it, but the rules and regulations set forth by the borough and the state of Alaska are actually going to dictate where the tax revenue, whether it's sales tax or excise tax, goes.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's kind of a split bag. So, you know, if we do ban it here, we do lose a lot of that revenue. Absolutely. I mean, if we're not part of it, we're going to lose a lot of tax revenue. But more than that, we're going to lose a lot more revenue from jobs and businesses, far beyond the sales tax that does go to the borough. We're going to lose a lot. We might still get a little bit of profit sharing from the state of Alaska, from other cannabis businesses around the state. But we're losing out big time if we shut this down. Absolutely.
Yeah, you lose control of the industry at that point, and which won't be good. The state of Alaska and the borough will lose control, and it goes to the black market.
Okay, thanks for your call, Jerry.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye. And one of the things I do want to, we're just about to the time to sum up, so I want to say one more time that Proposition 1, that a yes vote on Proposition 1 will prohibit the operation of any commercial marijuana establishment outside of the borough cities. So this doesn't address any questions you will have, and we'll talk about them on another Wednesday about marijuana on the spit or cultivation in your town. But it will prohibit commercial marijuana establishment outside of the borough cities, including retailers, cultivators, product manufacturers, and testing facilities. Which brings me to my question, testing facilities?
Oh, this is a very, very important issue that I especially like to bring back around to those folks who use and rely on cannabis medicinally, is that, you know, if you have cancer or you're under radiation or chemotherapy, whatever it is, you may have COPD, it doesn't matter. Whatever you're using cannabis for, you want to know above all else that what you are ingesting in any form in your body, taking in, that it is safe, that it doesn't have harsh chemicals, it doesn't have mold. It's been tested for potency so that you can dose yourself properly. All sorts of things. You're not going
all
to
sorts of things that do not that are not in play.
With an unregulated market. That is correct. And that goes for people who are just enjoying cannabis recreationally. We want to know that what we are putting into our bodies is safe for us. And you are going to be taking that away from folks. It's going to put a real damper on the response, you know, being a responsible adult.
I have made one foray.
Yes.
A little research to a retail outlet up the road, because we don't have any operational here. But I went on a ride along, and that's the thing that struck me was the very precise explanation of what's in each product.
You will get to know exactly how much THC, THCA, and CBD. And there are some that go out and go as far as to terpenes and things like that. Remember, the CBDs are the non-psychoactive component of
They're
a cannabis
available
plant.
At tobacco shops. People can vape CBD.
Yes, and you can buy drops, and you can buy other things like that
as well.
Well,
that was my other question. How is this, like, because we're not just talking about smokers. There's oils.
There's edibles, right. There's so many different ways to take it. I personally take it under my tongue every evening in the form of an oil before I go to bed. And that is the non-psychoactive component. But remember, CBD and the THC and THCA, they work together. If you are to receive the full spectrum benefit of cannabis, you actually need to be taking a little bit of both for them to work synergistically. One other thing I would like to point out about banning this outside of the city limits. These folks, these cultivators, I want to try to paint a picture here. They are farmers. This is like when you go to a farmer's market and you're buying your fruit and vegetables. Would it be realistic to shut down all of the farms outside the city limits and force them to come into the city limits where there really isn't a lot of farmland? That's exactly what we're doing. We will be forcing these cultivators and these other facilities to come into an already crowded space and putting them really more in front of your face, I would like to say, than if they were out in the farmland.
And one of you guys does grow in your facility, isn't that true? Leaf, you do?
We're both cultivating already, obviously.
Yes.
Yeah. And
But I mean in city limits.
No.
There is. Okay. So our Red Run Cannabis Company has a cultivation and a retail inside Kenai city limits. If this passes, I believe they will be the sole... Will they be the sole cultivator and retailer left?
At this point, there was another one that has been conditionally approved by the city of Kenai, but they are, I would say, they're at least a year, maybe two, away from being up and running. So, yes.
And
yes.
Are you two gentlemen part of a growers co-op where you trade information, like, apart from any of this? Or how do you guys share information?
Pretty independent at this point. Not that that's, you know, maybe some of the state organizations later on down the way that we could belong to and try to advocate for the industry.
But we are a really tight-knit group. I mean, when we get together, I've seen personally they share, I don't want to say trade secrets, but they help one another. If someone has ran into a problem with how they set up or how something, they can ask each other. And everyone is so generous with their information and helping out with trying to find solutions to problems within these farms and things.
As far as trade groups, I'm very active with trade groups and found them extremely helpful. The CRCL wasn't really a trade group. It was kind of a political entity that started going towards a trade group after regulations passed. And so we formed the Alaska Marijuana Industry Association. Extremely valuable. The networking that I do within that group with the growers in Anchorage and the retailers and growers in Fairbanks, the retailers and growers and manufacturers in Southeast. We've got local chapters in all of these areas out in the valley. That type of information on our statewide phone conferences that we can trade is just invaluable. We get to hear how enforcement is interacting with all of our businesses all over the state of Alaska, and it helps us keep them a little bit in line because they're still learning, and they've got a lot of disparity among different enforcers in different parts of the states just because probably a basic misunderstanding of how cannabis is handled and because this is something new. So, yeah, I can't stress enough how valuable I feel like the trade organization is to the cannabis industry.
And it's time to remind people that municipal election is October 3rd.
Early voting starts September 18th.
And you can only people who live outside the city limits, and this includes like Seldovia.
Seldovia is an incorporated city.
Right, is an incorporated city. Kachemak City, won't be able to vote if you're a resident of Kachemak City, the resident of Homer, Nikiski.
Nope.
Nanilchik?
Nope.
Those guys can vote.
Yes. You've got Seldovia, Homer, Seward, Kenai, and Soldotna right now as it stands that you cannot vote inside the city limits.
But everyone else can either early vote or go to the polls.
Please early vote. Sometimes those are the deciding numbers.
And you have an informational meeting on, what was it, Saturday?
This Saturday, from 4 to 6 at Stowaway Cafe. Also, plethora of information at keepcannabislegal.com. We also have a very active and informational Facebook page that really keeps you up to date where we are and what we're doing. On the keepcannabislegal.com page, you've got a community or a calendar. You'll know exactly where we are and what we're doing all around the Kenai Peninsula borough at all times. You can always email me at amyjackman@keepcannabislegal.com. You can also call me. I'm very happy to take any calls at 907-398-4326.
And any last comments from Doug Anderson and Leif Abel?
You know, if you have any concerns about cannabis at all right now and you vote yes on Proposition 1 and it actually comes, the yes vote prevails, your issues, whatever they are with cannabis, will still be there.
I'd like just to do the ask. My company employs almost 20 people, and our family has put our life savings into it. Please vote no on Prop 1, October 3rd.
And this has been The Coffee Table. I'm Kathleen Gustafson. Guests from Keep Cannabis Legal today, Amy Jackman, Leif Abel, and Doug Anderson. Thank you, all three of you, for coming and sharing some information and inviting people to your what are you calling it? Meeting.
Community meeting.
Community meeting.
Thank you.
Also to remind people that Borough Mayor Mike Navarre will be in the studio on Wednesday the 27th to talk about not just this Proposition 1, but also Borough Propositions 2 and 3. And I will continue to look for information to engage with the sponsors of Prop 1. But I want to thank you for the vote no on Prop 1, people. I want to thank you for coming in. And this has been The Coffee Table.
Thanks, Kim.
And this is KBBI, AM 890, Homer.